On this episode of TFL Talking Trucks, I have a special guest. Roman.
Oh, me.
It's you.
Okay.
You are my special guest.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I got a little confused.
No, because usually on TFL Car Chat, this is TFL Talking Trucks, my friend.
That's right. And today we're going to be talking about, did the American truck manufacturers, and actually the Japanese as well, take their eye off the ball, Andre?
Yeah. Did they drop the ball?
Yeah.
Completely.
I think we could make an argument that somehow the most profitable, the most American of vehicles has gotten lost in the shuffle with electrification and with tariffs and with COVID and with all this other stuff. And so we're going to be talking about what the heck happened to truck innovation and why do we see the return of an old Hemi?
I think we're in the slump. But it's not just bad news. I think we could play, or at least I can play a little bit of devil's advocate, maybe. We could talk about some news. We're also live on Patreon.
Hey, right? Guys.
So patreon.com/TFLcar is our only Patreon page for all of our channels. So you can interact with us. You can ask us questions. We already have 3 questions on this particular episode that we can get to. So we can chat about the future of pickup trucks, the present of pickup trucks, and some good and bad.
And the past, is this like Christmas Carol, Andre? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
The ghost of pickup truck past, current, and future. Hey, where's Case, by the way? Why am I here?
Well, you're here because Case is reviewing a motorcycle right now.
He's riding Harleys.
Yes.
Lucky man. So
that's
you're stuck with me today, I fear.
American Thunder, right?
Guess.
Thunder.
So before we get into the pickup trucks, I see that you have your Buhanka sitting here in front of us.
It's a model. It's a RC model.
It's an RC
of a Russian van.
So what's going on with your Buhanka? Where are you at with that thing?
So if you also know, Case and I kind of had a little race, right? We both wanted to V8 swap our project vehicles.
Yes.
He was working on a Land Rover Discovery. I was working on a Russian UAZ 4x4 van. Case is already driving his Land Rover. My Buhanka loaf is at the mechanics. Because the transmission exploded.
Oh, gee.
So we swapped a 700R4, which is a 4-speed automatic transmission behind a LS Chevy V8 in my van. And I lost 2 top gears, just kind of went out. I know a really good transmission mechanic in Greeley.
Uh-huh.
So Ruben at Colorado Transmissions.
I know Ruben.
Yeah, Ruben is a cool
dude.
He's
good, but he's not quick, Andre.
He's not the fastest.
No, you may have that the Buhanka there for a while.
But I think Ruben has an eye for he wants
lunch.
To do something. No,
for
no.
Long lunches.
No, he has an eye for perfection. He has an eye for specialty, great craftsmanship.
But this is just like an old transmission you slammed into this thing, didn't
no,
you?
No, he's like a wizard. He can fix a transmission in about 30 minutes, but he wants to do something else. He wants to give me a 4L60 upgraded, computer-controlled, with tow haul mode for off-roading. He has dreams beyond anybody.
I have an experience with a wizard. I'm not talking about a car wizard. Long before the car wizard in Hoovy, I used to live in Prague when it went from communist to capitalist. And I had a buddy who loved Audis. And when the country went from communist to capitalism, what happened was that there were a lot of, I'm using air quotes here, wizards who would buy crash cars in Germany, specifically German cars, and then in the back of a shed.
They fix them up,
they
right?
They would repair them. So my buddy comes to me, and this is a Czech guy, and he's like, you can't believe this. I got my dream car, which at that time was an Audi S8, you know, the big sedan. And I'm like, where'd you get that? And I'm looking at the
it's
car.
It's an amazing car. Yeah.
Black, beautiful. He's like, oh, I got it out of Germany. One of my wizards took this thing and completely rebuilt it.
Nice. Amazing.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I hope he is a real wizard. So fast forward to like 2 months later, and I meet my friend again, and he's all forlorn, and he's all like bummed out. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? And he's like, you know that Audi I had from Germany? Well, I was driving it in the middle of Prague down a hill next to a tram, because they have trams that run alongside
like little trolleys.
The traffic.
Yeah, trolleys or trams.
Yeah. And he was just a little bit ahead of the tram, and all of a sudden his left wheel collapsed, turning the entire car in front of the tram, and then the tram just T-boned him.
Like in the movie.
He was fine, yeah.
Like
he
in
was,
the movie.
He was only doing like 15 miles an hour, so it was not a horrible accident. But it was enough to prove that some of these wizards, you know, had been absent during the part of their training when they were, you know, getting the how to rebuild the car from scratch.
I don't see how this story is relevant.
Well, every time I hear wizard, I worry that the reputation may precede the actual.
Okay, but I've seen his transmission work, and he's an amazing dude.
All right, we shall see. Okay. I'm holding my breath for you. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes.
But we'll update you on Andre's, so, because this is a long story. I mean, you've had this thing, what, 5 years now?
Probably four-ish, yeah. Almost five. And
I'm talking about the Buhanka on the table in front of us.
I haven't enjoyed it as much as I need to.
What's your final goal with it? What do you plan to do with this?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Okay, you want to live out of this thing?
Well, yeah, but my wife is not keen on my idea.
You have a Buhanka.
I mean, I have a bed in there. You know, it's really now going to be reliable Chevrolet that can take you from here to there. And so I want to live in the van down by the river.
So when she kicks you out under the couch, you'll have a further place you can migrate to when you have a running and functional. Do you want to take it on like an adventure? Do you want to take
I do, yeah. Our friend David, his dream, because he also built a project truck, his dream is to meet me in Moab. Ooh. And, you know, and traverse some terrain with our off-road Chevrolets.
Because he built an off-road wrecker kind of in the way that Matt had done so.
Right, for Matt's off-road recovery.
And you may be lucky to have a wrecker.
So you could pull me out.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. All right, let's talk about
the main subject.
Let's talk about the topics. Andre and I were doing an Ike yesterday. We're driving back from Iking the new Expedition.
Yeah, Expedition Tremor.
And we started chatting about you know, the fact that, let's say, American trucks have not necessarily had a lot of innovation. So when we first started this 15 years ago, there was so much innovation in the truck world.
Yeah, that was the birth of the Raptor.
Yes.
SVT Raptor. Remember this? You and Nathan went and you drove it. Crazy things happened after that.
Yeah,
crazy things.
Multiple engines were introduced. Multiple engines were, you know, discontinued.
In 2015, Ford switched to aluminum bodies.
Exactly.
Which was, when I was thinking about it back then, 10 years ago, you know, it's the most popular vehicle, right? The F-Series. And to switch it to aluminum, you know, you have to, you know, completely, you know, suppliers, all this stuff has to happen to make a million vehicles out of different material.
Yeah, and then, of course, heavy-duty trucks went from these ungainly working vehicles to most luxurious, comfortable. Horsepower went through the roof. If you think about...
Towing went through the roof.
Towing went through the roof. I mean, I remember when, you know, you could not tow more than 15,000 pounds, and now it's 30,000 pounds.
40,000
pounds. There was just so much innovation, especially in the off-road world, where, like you said, the Raptor, the Hummer EV...
ZR2,
the Ranger Raptor.
TRD Pro. So,
yeah, it was just a renaissance of both fuel economy, powertrains, materials. There's not a part of the truck that you can think of that wasn't changed or somehow improved or made much more efficient over the last 15 years. And that seems to have kind of come to a grinding halt over the last...
A slowdown.
Yeah, over the last several years. So we were just kind of discussing and looking at different ways that manufacturers have kind of taken their eye off the ball. And I think we're going to try to give you some ideas, at least things that we've noticed, that I think hold up that thesis and prove that somehow the manufacturers have forgotten that they're now truck companies. And I said it,
yeah.
Right?
Well, because their profits are coming from pickup trucks.
Let's talk about the domestics before we get to these specifics.
Okay.
First and foremost, Ford. Ford builds now one car. One.
What is it?
The Mustang. All right, that's all.
Yes.
And somehow, you know, they're building a GTD version of it as well. But they only build one car. The rest is basically either trucks.
Crossover, SUV, or truck.
Truck, yeah. So they're no longer a car company in the traditional definition of what a car is, a four-door sedan. And I think
GM is similar.
Yeah,
I think very, very similar.
So GM just discontinued the Malibu this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, gone. And so now if you take the Corvette out of it, and both the Mustang and Corvette are kind of their own thing, you know what I mean?
They're high-performance, sporty cars, special vehicles, right?
But GM is in the same boat. They only build trucks.
Crossovers and SUVs.
Yes, exactly. And then you look at Ram.
Ram is a truck company,
you know,
period. I mean, they have commercial vans and pickup trucks.
And then the rest of Stellantis is brands, you know, Chrysler has one vehicle, the Pacifica. So you can kind of like, okay.
Kind of a car.
Yeah. Dodge has one vehicle. Well, two. There's the Hornet. I forgot.
Yes.
But it's easy to forget. And then, of course, Jeep is SUV.
All SUVs.
SUVs and truck-based trucks.
Yes.
Or anyway, so these are essentially truck companies. And yet, when you look at the innovation that's happening with the traditional type of trucks, I'm talking about, you know, beds and what we think of as traditionally trucks, there's not much happening. In fact, we've taken a huge step backwards in some ways by, and I know people have screamed and have stomped their feet and have wanted the Hemi back, but there's a whole generation of engines that the Hemi is part of that have gone away, and there's a good reason that they went away, right?
What's the reason?
Because they're thirsty and they're not fuel efficient, and they're kind of old tech.
Yeah. Well, so the 5.7 Hemi, I was just looking this up, right? They had something called the Magnum generation of V8s. Remember, we even owned the 2001 Magnum 5.9 liter. You know, Nathan drove it.
I remember, yeah.
In 2003-04, the 5.7 V8 Hemi came out. It had the new brand, Hemi brand. There was that commercial. That thing got a Hemi, right? So, but that was 22 years ago?
Yeah, and it came out when the Toyota V8 came out for the Tundra that you have, right? That's that same generation. The Titan also had a very similar V8. And the reason that both the Toyota V8 and the Titan V8 went away is because they were just thirsty.
Well,
and not that powerful.
Okay.
Compared to
a little
more
bit,
modern generations.
A little bit of devil's advocate here, okay?
Yeah.
General Motors has just invested, they announced, $888 million in V8 engines.
But they announced it like 15 years ago.
So inherently, a V8 engine is not a terrible thing.
No.
In fact, all of us love the sounds it makes and a lot of different things about it. So if you make it in a smart way, German manufacturers still use a lot of V8 engines, right? So if you make it in a very smart way, it could be very fun, very powerful, also relatively efficient. Maybe not the most efficient thing out there, but it could still be very, very good.
But they announced that like 3 years ago, Andre.
I know. Is the GM? We need to go manufacturer by manufacturer,
yeah, let's do that.
My friend.
Because let's not skip around. We have a whole...
Order. I prepared notes, Roman.
All right. Go. I'm going to shut up, and you go.
I've prepared notes.
And go down this order, and then we won't be so disjointed.
Okay. Let's take a look at Ford.
Okay.
Okay. So Ford, you know, there's this war. Who sells more pickup trucks? Is it Ford or General Motors? Data says General Motors, if you combine GMC and Silverado, sell more together. But Ford brand, the F-Series, sells more than Silverado brand or the Sierra brand. And so, Cole, I did a little image of a concept truck. So let's bring it up. This is my AI rendering of a Lobo from the future. Do you like it?
Well, it looks electric because it has no grill on it.
Well, it might be electric. But all I asked AI to do is I said, take the current Lobo, which is an F-150 street truck, street performance vehicle, and create the next concept vehicle out of it. And for some reason, it turned into an electric truck.
Yeah, AI is kind of...
AI is very problematic because you and I often look up specs, data about certain vehicles, and Google wants to bring you an AI answer first.
And it's wrong.
Often. And it's... In 90% of the time, it's wrong because trucks are more complicated than just one trim, right? There's multiple engines, there's multiple configurations. You have to be very specialized in how you present that information. That's why TFL Truck is there.
So we should be getting ready for a new F-Series, F-150 specifically.
Yeah.
Because traditionally, Ford has rolled out...
Every 6 years,
and we are now about to hit 6 years.
So let's look at a little bit of the past.
Yeah.
Trucks, the ghost of truck past.
Okay.
So 2015, huge generation change for the F-150. Then 6 years go by, 2021, another big update. That's the truck I used to own, the F-150 Hybrid Power Boost. That had a new styling, new interior. They introduced new powertrain updates. So that was a big generational change.
We're not talking about facelifts. We're talking about entire generations.
Yeah, and you know how you define that is a little bit soft.
Usually chassis.
Yeah, because they made the new frame. I believe it was in 2015. And that frame mostly survives. I mean, once you make something really, really good, why change it, right?
Exactly.
That's how Toyota would probably think.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
If you make a great Tundra, keep it for 20 years. You know, why change it? But if we have the same logic, then 2027 should have a new F-150, right?
Yeah.
And that means we would see prototypes.
Usually by now we would be looking at prototypes or we'd be getting some hint of what's coming, and it's been crickets from Ford.
As far as the next F-150, right?
So Andre and I are guessing at this, that the next F-150 might be delayed.
But is it a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a bad thing because competition makes the breed better. And when you start delaying things and you start kind of getting off that cycle that you were on, that means that your resources are being drawn elsewhere and you're not putting the same amount of money and time and energy and people power into the next generation. So I don't think it's a great thing. We could be wrong.
But here's what's worse.
Yeah.
Here's something way worse. We've seen recalls, and not just, you know, minor recalls like, oops, I misprinted a sticker. We're seeing powertrain failure recalls. We've seen, you know, transmission-related stuff, brake-related stuff. Cole, if you go to NHTSA, for example, and Ford of this year specifically has been quite not good related to this. Is this a Ford or is this Chevy? Yeah, so this is Ford. Rear hub axle bolt may break. Instrument panel display failure. Loss of power. Damaged wire harness. And a lot of these recalls are affecting many thousands of vehicles. Sometimes
tens of thousands.
Sometimes hundreds of thousands of vehicles. So even if you have a truck that's been around for a while, like since 2021, essentially,
you would think that every year they would improve it and that the number of recalls would probably come down. Now, you know, to be fair, this could be because the modern pickup truck is a much more sophisticated, complicated.
Yes. And there could be supplier problems, you know, issues with tariffs because they have to shuffle around constantly, which is insanely difficult, I'm assuming. But nonetheless, you buy a pickup truck because you want a working machine and luxury machine that you can depend on.
Yeah, so the question is, why are we seeing so many recalls if we're getting toward the end of the product cycle for the current generation
exactly.
of F-150?
It
should be going down, not up. And especially in this political climate where it seems like government is becoming less intrusive in all kinds of ways in the auto industry, except for tariffs, of course. But I'm talking about like emissions. I'm talking about much of what the manufacturer has to do in order to comply with all the government regulations. A lot of that's being lifted, and yet we're seeing historically high recalls on Ford vehicles. Why is that? Our supposition could be that, you know, Ford has been busy working on electric trucks. Ford has been busy working on electric cars. And somehow, you know, the bread and butter of the company has not gotten the attention that we think it may have or it should be getting. And I could be wrong about that. That's just that we're looking from the outside in. There may be other internal factors that we're missing.
Well, they just announced the Model T moment.
Yes.
Right.
That was not a Model T moment. That was anything but a Model T moment.
They called it.
That wasn't even a Model A moment. You know what that was?
What?
That was more of like a LTD moment. Remember the LTD back in the 70s?
Oh, geez.
Maybe that was an LTD moment.
Well, they didn't show a vehicle.
No.
There was no concept.
No.
There's nothing to rally behind. They announced a new production method. They announced a price of a potential new electric truck.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that went over like a lead balloon. Most people were not impressed by that. And especially given the fact that, you know, we're certainly seeing a moment in time when the pendulum has swung away from electric vehicles, both politically and kind of culturally. It just felt like they were kind of death to what was happening culturally. And to call it a Model T moment, you know, it's like with the Neue Klasse. BMW just introduced the Neue Klasse, new class of car. The original one, it's really the Neue Klasse, the new class,
yeah. Right?
That saved BMW. That was the introduction of the modern BMW.
You're talking about in history.
Yeah, back in I think it was the late 50s, early 60s when they stopped building those little Isettas and actually started building a family sedan. That moment in time created what is the modern BMW. And so with BMW's Neue Klasse, the new one, it feels like that this is BMW kind of saying, hey, we're going to show you the next generation of BMWs, and this is what's
coming. Electrified.
Yeah. It's got better batteries, more range, yada, yada, yada. But with Ford's Model T moment, like I said, it didn't feel like there was anything that
I want to see the truck.
How do you have a Model T without a Model T? How do you have a Model T moment without a Model T?
There you go.
Well, and you know what it was?
What?
Maybe it was their Edsel moment.
Edsel,
that might
be a wake-up call.
No, Edsel was a huge flop.
Didn't Edsel convince Henry Ford to stop building the Model T and actually innovate?
No, I'm talking about the model Edsel, the car.
Okay.
You know, the one that looked like it was sucking a lemon.
That was
supposed to be like the next design wave of Ford's, and it just went over really poorly in the Edsel.
Sucking a lemon.
Yeah, it's got this mouth.
Yeah.
It looks like that. Here, let me show you.
Like a fish.
Yeah, like a fish. Yeah,
looks like a fish.
Yeah, that's the Edsel.
Yeah.
For all of you guys who are listening to this, if you want to watch this, head on over to TFL Talk, and you can see me do a fish.
If you want to see Roman make a fish face, you gotta join us. There it is. You could see it on our screen.
You see what I mean?
An actual Edsel.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's a custom Edsel. But anyway, that's an Edsel car.
I'm not wrong.
Anyways, but Ford is not alone. GM is helping out Ford with huge recalls. I'm being sarcastic. I'm sorry. But 6.2 liter V8. It's been around for many, many, many years. They recalled upwards of almost 600,000 6.2 engines because many of them were failing early on. 597,571 of them were recalled from 2021 to 2024. And this is, once again, at the end of the life cycle of that engine, they're recalling so many engines.
Yeah, I mean, we could go into all of the problems GM's having, but obviously their V8s have issues with cylinder deactivation or have had historically issues with cylinder.
Well, yeah, but these ones are like shaving, you know, the bearings are like shaving themselves and the engine is failing.
So, as you guys know, GM does two V8s, not just one. They do a 6.2 and a 5.3, but both of them are pretty long in the tooth, Andre.
Yeah. And that's why they announced the new engine that's coming, but we still haven't seen it.
The new LS block.
Heavy duty GM trucks, 300,000 plus were recalled because of transmission issues. And that was through 2022, but you and I have received many emails and messages and just outreach from owners of newer heavy-duty GM trucks that are failing.
Yeah, I think so. If you get on the forums or if you watch TikTok, there are people out there who will point their finger and will say, this is exactly what's happening. I know exactly what's wrong with the transmission, or I know exactly what's wrong with the engines. But the problem is, you know who knows what's exactly wrong with the transmission?
Who?
GM knows what's exactly, and Ford knows. Mm. And a lot of the times, they're not saying, Andre. So the process is not clear. It's very opaque. And for, I'm sure, legal reasons and financial reasons, the manufacturers oftentimes aren't that forthcoming when they have these, let's say, massive problems.
Tundra had a similar issue. 100,000 engines were recalled because they were shaving themselves.
But initially they didn't say that. Initially they said it was some other reason for it. It took a while. And Toyota is probably the most transparent of the car companies when it comes to this. But, you know, The problem is when you're not transparent, then you end up with a lot of different theories, a lot of different people out there who are basically creating clicks for themselves by guessing or maybe even purposefully lying about what's really going on. And so we try to be very fair and we try to be very thorough. And oftentimes when we get emails from you guys or there's a lot of buzz on the internet about what's going on, then we contact the manufacturer. But very rarely do we get anything more than, you know, it is GM's or Ford's or Toyota's highest priority to make sure that, you know, our customers are taken care of.
It's a very standard message.
Yeah, and blah, 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 but never like, this is what's happening, this is how many engines, this is the problem. Every so often, Toyota will do that. Remember when we had our issue with the Tacoma, we actually got a lot of help from Toyota and figuring out what was wrong.
Especially their engineering team.
Yeah, yeah. But more often than not, that's not the case.
Yeah, but I want to give, you know, Ford, GM, and even Ram. We used to own the Ram Cummins, and I don't know how many recall notices we received in the mail. You know, I would say it could be double digits. So Ram is not immune to this either. But I want to give them credit because, for example, recently Ford Ranger was recalled, right? And Ford was very proactive. You know, they saw the complaints, they went to investigate, and they recalled 100,000 Rangers, which is a lot of vehicles. So they are being, you know, they are being forthcoming, at least in the way of recall and actually addressing some of these problems.
Like I said, it's hard to say whether this is because there's so much new technology in trucks, you know, stuff that never used to be in trucks and now is commonplace in trucks, everything from like
radar systems.
Yeah.
Every Ram 1500 now has a radar.
Yeah, I was thinking about like Super Cruise or Blue Cruise, right? Mm-hmm. These are very complicated systems where you have basically autonomy that's now an autonomy in the case of GM that allows you to tow. I mean, this is a lot of electronics. And so I don't know how much of these recalls are due to like nuts and bolts issues where there was cost cutting in a transmission that should have had, like I'll give you an example of that. Two examples that are very similar. You know, we have that Cadillac with that Northstar.
Yes.
And I was doing some bit of research, and of course the Northstar is known for blowing head gaskets. And what had happened was the GM didn't drill the bolt far enough into the block, and so eventually over time it would loosen, and then of course if you loosen the head from the block, the gasket will fail. And it took GM, I think, 7 years to fix that, even though I think they knew about the issue long before them, but it took them a long time before they actually did something about it. And that could be cost-cutting. I don't know. This is a long time ago now.
Well, we didn't work at GM.
No, we don't
know. And we don't work at GM right now.
Or remember when we had that excursion with the 10-cylinder Ford?
Yeah, it would pop its spark plugs.
It was like popcorn. There. Boom, boom, boom. And the reason for that was that they didn't, same problem, right? They didn't
thread the spark plug
far enough into the block. Eventually, over time, it would just pop out.
Yeah.
So these are kind of nuts and bolts issues, which are understandable. So I don't know if majority of those recalls are because of that or because there's so much new tech or because there's so much social media now that when any one person has a problem, they can amplify that depending on the size of the audience to make it seem like it's a lot of people having the problem, or it's just hard to tell. It's very opaque at this moment in time.
Yeah, but what's not opaque is when you go to a government site that has manufacturer numbers and manufacturer confirms that a certain number of trucks has been recalled. That's real, and those numbers are huge. Okay, enough about GM.
Hold on. To be fair, some of those recalls, especially with the major manufacturers, are also fixed over the air.
They
can be fixed over the air. That's happening more and more. And Tesla, of course, pioneered that, but we're seeing that more and more now.
Like the latest Ford F-150 Super Duty screen going black recall.
Yeah.
It's over the air, pretty quick update.
But
bam.
But here's the thing that I also wonder about. We just were driving that Expedition.
Yes.
And Ford had done what GM has done, and that is they have removed the little switch that controls the lights.
Yes.
So
it's now a digital button.
It's now a little digital button that's way in the corner of the screen. Now, that to me seems like you're asking for trouble, right? Because if you can't turn your lights on at night... And your screen is malfunctioning, you've just basically bricked that truck.
Yeah.
So why did they take the light switch and put it into the screen?
I have no idea.
Same thing with when they do, like, you know, the little motorized vents. you're just adding complexity for the sake of adding complexity, creating what I would call a future recall. Another one of those, this is very common now, when you have door handles that automatically retract. We have the Tesla Model S from 2014. It's got, I was just driving it today because we have to get it fixed.
Well, the Hyundai, like Ioniq 9, for example, yeah. Or several other vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically creating recalls when you do that.
For the future.
At some point, those door handles are going to fail. And when the driver's side door handle fails, you've just bricked the vehicle. Unless you like crawling in through the passenger side, which is not a lot of fun. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say technology. Is it this new technology? And why are they going down that road when they probably know that they're creating issues for themselves? Why not just keep stuff that works? The new Expedition, another one, I keep picking on that, but we were driving yesterday. You know, they created something that to me is just asking for trouble, and that is, once upon a time when first Tesla modernized this, you had little rotary switches on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
That allowed you to change the rear-view mirrors, allowed you to change the steering wheel up and down, and then Rivian copied that. And I always hated it because it was always very unintuitive. You basically had to learn how to use those switches to control, you know,
multiple functions.
It's much easier if you have a little switch on the side of the steering wheel, and you push it in, and the steering wheel goes in, you push it up, and the steering wheel goes up. Very logical, intuitive. These things are not. And now Ford has gone the next step. In the new Expedition, they have created a haptic version of that. So no longer do you have an actual switch on the steering wheel. You just have a haptic touch control. And I remember when I got in the vehicle and I tried to adjust the steering wheel, I couldn't figure out how to do it. And I pride myself on being an automotive journalist, and I literally sat there just like for 15 minutes, like wondering how I do this. And you had to come in and show me.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were sitting in the parking lot.
Exactly. And why didn't I go get lunch? Why was I just staring dumbly forward?
I think he had an identity crisis or something.
But that looked like my dog just died.
But I helped you out.
You did help.
I got you.
You did help me out. You had to show me where the lights are. And if this is my job and I can't figure it out, doesn't somebody, one of these manufacturers, like stick a person in there and say, here, adjust the steering wheel and see if you
can. Tell me how to do it.
See if you can figure it out in 15 minutes. And maybe if they can't, maybe that's not a good idea. So I just feel like these are things that are just going to get, you know, because the little switch, and let's face it, switches are expensive. The manufacturers or the engineers call them mushrooms, right? Because whatever is on top is much smaller than what's behind it.
Yeah.
So it's certainly a lot cheaper if you get rid of that switch. But in the long run, is it cheaper?
Well, that's the question. Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm sure, because to create separate switch to control the steering wheel height, special switch for volume, special switch for another function, when you can combine all those functions into one switch, Roman.
Or one haptic, whatever.
Or one haptic thing. I'm sure it's way cheaper because you're shrinking down the number of suppliers that you have to work with to create each different switch. And if it's, you know, so there could be good things about it, but there could also be very bad things about it in the future.
Now, we've been kind of ranting about new technology, but we'll get back to this main thesis here.
Did they drop the ball?
But before we do that, why don't we tell them what we figured out yesterday? And this is happening more and more. I just saw a TikTok where somebody was saying nobody's talking about this. So gosh darn it, let's talk about this.
What is it?
So when we got that Expedition, we got a Monroney.
Yes.
And the destination and delivery fee was $2,195. And for some reason, I'm sure it has to do with law back in the ancient days, you break out the destination and delivery from the actual cost of the vehicle. It should be part of that. Let's fix, right?
Because it's non-negotiable.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Yeah, it's like if you were to go to the store and you bought, let's say, an apple, and then you had to add another 30 cents onto it because it was delivered to the store.
I know it's delivered to the store because I just went to the store.
It's the cost of doing business, right? And so it was $2,195 on the Monroney. But because we're thorough, because you're thorough, we went and configured the vehicle online.
Yes.
And what did we discover?
$2,595 destination charge, which is $400 more than already arguably pretty high charge. So now almost $2,600 for delivery.
Yeah, so they upped in the last several weeks, Ford upped that price. And let's face it.
And this is also for F-150s, by the way.
Yes.
Not just Expeditions.
And what's happening is manufacturers are kind of sneaking in the cost or the added cost, I'm going to go political, of the tariffs by not, you know, doing it the straightforward way and saying we're going to have to raise prices like Ford did with the Maverick, $2,000. They don't want to say that. So what they're doing is they're raising the destination fee because it hasn't changed $400 to stick a Expedition on a truck and ship it to Colorado or wherever you happen to live. The price hasn't gone up. It's just a way of increasing the cost of the vehicle without making it seem like you're increasing the cost of the vehicle.
But now, if it's almost $3,000, that's a significant portion of your price. And a lot of people, when you're walking into a dealership, let's say you're looking at a $45,000 pickup truck, and you have to figure $2,600 additional, you have to remember that there's a destination charge. That's a big deal.
And I know it's kind of silly. Cole, go and configure a BMW 3 Series, which is actually built in Munich. So find like a BMW 3 Series, and let's see how much the destination is to actually ship the vehicle from Munich, not the SUVs, those are built in Spartanburg, but let's see how much it would cost to ship a 3 Series from Munich to your local dealership. So let's see.
Yeah, one of these.
Yeah, just pick one of those. These are all built in Munich.
And summary, let's go to a summary.
Yeah, don't have to, if you can get there.
We're doing it live.
Yeah, we're doing it live, so you got they want
live demonstration.
Your zip code. We need to get to the page where it shows you how much you're going to pay. Can you find it? Oh, you got to put the zip code in. Of course you do. All right. There you go. Four vehicles.
Maybe you can click the question mark. View details.
Are they even going to show it to you?
This is fascinating. This is fascinating. I'm going to guess it's going to be half of what Ford is charging for the Expedition.
You want to just Google? Just Google it. It's going to be, I think BMW is at like $1,300.
3 Series destination charge.
Yeah.
$1,175?
Yeah.
Well, that was a year ago. Okay, so it's probably $1,300 now.
That's why I picked BMW because I was just looking at a BMW sticker.
Yeah, so that's almost half. That's almost half of
to ship the 3 Series.
Okay, arguably a 3 Series is a little smaller and lighter.
But it's coming across the ocean. It's on a boat. It's not coming from Michigan. And that's I'm just trying to prove that it's just BS and that the manufacturers are just using this as a way to increase the cost of the vehicle without making it seem like they're increasing the cost of the vehicle. And I think I'm going to say it, Andre. I think it's a little sleazy. I'm going to use that word. I know it's a strong word, but it's a little disingenuous. You know, if you want to increase it, just increase the cost of the vehicle.
And explain it. Yeah. Say, you know what, we have to pay more for steel or aluminum or whatever have you. And here it is.
Be transparent. Transparency is always good. Because the problem is it makes your customer it makes me feel like I'm an idiot. Like, oh, look at that. You had to pay $2,600 to ship it. As opposed to, you know, you just decide to increase the cost of the vehicle because your prices went up. All right, enough of me ranting, but I'm seeing that as a trend right now, and it's a trend I don't like in the business, so I wanted to kind of point it out to you guys.
Let's look at RAM a little closer.
Yes, okay? Let's look at RAM.
So, RAM over the last couple years, not current RAM, I'm talking about a couple years ago, with previous management, really, I would say, took their eye off the ball. Really. So they were working. They created a new iteration. I would call it a facelift of the 2025 Ram 1500. But they got rid of the Hemi when they did that. They added a really interesting engine. The 3-liter twin-turbo Hurricane is actually very smooth, incredibly powerful, relatively efficient engine. But it didn't seem like they were listening to their customers. And also, they have an aging heavy-duty truck that they recently updated also. But somehow, they had all this time, right? They knew what Ford was doing with the Super Duty. They knew what GM was doing with their heavy-duty trucks.
With the Duramax.
With the Duramax. But the Cummins came out better, more power, different transmission, but still not any quicker than the others, not really more efficient than the others. And
you're being nice. It was slower and less efficient than the competitors. In the past, what would have happened was there was this like stair step, and it was probably unsustainable, where like Ford would come out with a Super
One number,
Duty,
yeah.
And then, you know, 2 days later, Duramax would be like, you know, just a little bit more powerful, just a little bit more efficient, and then Ford would do it. But with the new Cummins, at least in our testing, it's actually not, there's no measurable criteria where it's better than a Super Duty Power Stroke.
Unless 2 years down the line, it's going to be super durable.
Yeah, it could
zero
be that.
Recalls.
It could be that.
Right. In 2 years from now, the Cummins might be the most durable, and the ZF transmission could be have zero recalls. It's going to be amazing. But we don't know this yet. So it's, once again, disappointing, I would say. Disappointing.
And maybe, I don't want to be unfair to Ram. Maybe they would say that, you know, they're providing the best amount of power, efficiency, durability.
That you actually need.
That you actually need. At some point, it's like I said, it's unsustainable, right? You don't need to tow 50,000 pounds with a... With a 2,500.
Well, maybe you do. No.
Diesel. But you would think that when they do their commercials, you know what I mean? You'd think that they would have the announcer say, you know, the most powerful truck in class, which is what Ford and Chevy and Ram were saying for a long time, or GM. And now it's none of that. And I don't know why that is. It's I was expecting like at least one bright point.
Yeah, one number.
One number.
We have the most torque, or the most horsepower, or the most towing, or the most...
Cylinders? You go to a 10-cylinder.
Bring back the Viper engine.
Exactly.
Bring back the Viper.
And so that's why we're saying it kind of feels weird that there's not as much innovation there as possible.
Before we go to Toyota and Nissan a little bit, can we answer a couple questions from our Patreon supporters?
Yeah.
Because you guys is the reason why we're doing this. So, for example, Theodore asked, what days will TFL be present at the 2025 Land Rover Rally in Moab?
Yeah, so Case and Tommy are both going.
Okay.
Because they both, you know, we're big Land Rover freaks here. And Case has LS swapped his.
Yes.
Disco or LR3, and Tommy loves his LR3, and so they're both going to go. I think they're going Tuesday, and they're going to be there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I think those 3 days, or maybe Wednesday, Thursday,
Friday. Do you
remember
what dates they are?
I don't remember, but I'm
okay.
Sure.
You know. 30 through 25, so probably drive out the 23rd.
Yeah, so probably drive
off
out
September.
Yeah, and they're going to do a trail ride, so they'll be out there with you guys. They're super excited. Case is especially excited because he just got his, you know, LS swap.
He has a Corvette power in his Land Rover.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that's the answer for you. Now, Sean is asking, getting into a new car, a rental, for instance, is so frustrating nowadays when you have all these settings and controls you can't figure out.
Thank you, Sean. You just made our point.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Don is asking... I'm paraphrasing here. What can you speak to what happened to all the previous TFL hosts that are no longer with us?
Sure.
Well, so, that's a little bit more complex.
Yeah, so I'll quickly go through this. I don't want to bore people if you don't care. But our man Alex, who is a big Philadelphia fan.
Yeah, Eagles.
Yeah, he got a job working for a local golf / barbecue company. They build barbecues and then they do a lot of golfing. So he's doing a lot of golfing / barbecue videos.
Really
fun videos. So he's loving his life. So congratulations. And then going back, who else to ask about?
Well, we had Charlotte. Remember, she's a chemistry expert.
Yeah, she got.
She was into chemistry.
She was never Tommy's girlfriend. She had a serious boyfriend, or has.
That was a rumor.
Yeah, she's working at one of the local water district municipalities, making sure that, the water is clean. And
so her passion was chemistry and water chemistry, yeah. Not automotive, necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. So she's doing what she studied in college.
What's up with Emmy Hall?
Emmy is at Edmonds, I believe, last time I checked.
I think she's more of a freelance. Yeah. So she does stories for many different outlets. And she's about to race in the 10th annual Rebel Rally.
Yeah, we're still buddies with Emmy.
Yeah, which is coming up soon.
She got a great opportunity to go work at CNET when that was still a thing. Roadshow, right? They did this car thing called CNET's Roadshow. And so she came to me and she said, hey, I got this great opportunity. I said, how much are they paying you? This would have been a job in San Francisco. And I said, you go, girl, you fly. I can't match that. And so she moved to San Francisco. And then, of course, CNET went down the drain. At least Roadshow did, not CNET itself. It was CBS at that time. And now she's, I think, stringing for a bunch of different publications, but mainly Edmonds. So she's doing great. Love watching her reviews. Yeah. Enjoy.
There's also Brian and Mikey. I mean, Nathan is still working with us.
Yeah,
Nathan is in California.
Nathan, his wife got a great job back in California, where he's from originally, in the L.A. area. So he took that opportunity to move back to L.A., and he's still freelancing for us. So you'll see him. He actually did a video for us last week. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And we'll do another one coming up soon.
Yeah.
Don Megahan is also asking, when are we supercharging our F-150 Tremor?
Not quite yet. We want to supercharge it, but the problem is once we supercharge it, we can't use it to compare it to other trucks. So we just, for instance, took, and this video is coming up very soon, the F-150 Tremor and compared it to the new Hemi Warlock.
Exactly.
And if we had supercharged it, it wouldn't be a fair comparison.
Yeah, we took both off-road. We actually we recently published a drag race between the two.
Once again, if we supercharged it.
Or even lifting a truck, right? Let's say we put a lift kit on the Tremor, made it taller, put bigger tires on it. It's no longer the way it came from the factory.
Yeah, the first comment would be like, that's not fair, and we'd have to agree. So I think if we supercharge it, we'll probably hold off till next year. But that's the plan. We'll see. You know, things are changing day by day. But I would love to personally, I would love to supercharge it yesterday. It's also not cheap. It's like $11,000. It's a lot of money, Andre. It's a lot of money that we could spend.
And,
you know,
we could buy another used truck for that much money.
It's a lot of bagels we could buy.
And a lot of donuts.
A lot of donuts. Yeah.
So I think those are all the questions we have so far.
Okay.
Toyota.
Yes.
Gosh. So remember when the 2022 came out, you and I were in Texas at the event, right? And then somebody said, oopsie, Toyota forgot tow hooks.
Yeah, I think that was Tim. Tim ran up the mountain with that banner in his arm.
And rightly so.
Rightly so.
Front recovery points were missing. Okay. Toyota had an explanation, of course, right? So pedestrian safety, you know, some crash protection, et cetera, et cetera.
Also, those little vanes that come down for better aero.
Yeah, deployable chin.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things happening. Okay, so for 2026, which is 4 years from when the truck was introduced, right?
Toyota has re-engineered that whole front end.
No. They did not re-engineer any of the front end. They also promised us a Trail Hunter because they initially, you know, had this concept of a Tundra Trail Hunter. And then they unveiled the Tacoma Trail Hunter and then the 4Runner Trail Hunter. But for some reason, we still don't have a Tundra Trail Hunter anything.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's coming for 2026, right?
No. For 2026, TRD Pro gets those red isodynamic hammock seats from Tacoma.
I have read a lot of her comments, yet I've never seen anybody ask for isodynamic seats in a Tundra. But
now the Tundra is getting it.
It makes sense because at least there'll be room in the second row.
It's a bigger cab.
It's a bigger cab. So I guess it's not something that people have been like, you know.
I'm getting at is the Tundra sales, at least as of July, have been sliding down. They're losing some sales compared to previous year. And to add a few color options and a couple of small options and maybe a seat to their new Tundra for 2026, I don't think it's quite enough to propel it.
But you know why that is, Andre?
Why?
Their team has been feverishly working around the clock to build a competitor to the Maverick.
What?
The new Stout is coming out any day now. How long has the Maverick been out? How many years?
Four years. Yes.
And the only competitor in that segment, right? So four segments of truck, compact, midsize, full-size, heavy-duty. only competitor is, of course, the Santa Cruz, which is more of a lifestyle vehicle, less of a trucky truck. But none of the manufacturers, and I'm including Toyota in this because...
And Nissan.
Because Toyota, of course, is the most logical one, I think, because this is kind of their forte.
Given small vehicles and hybrids.
Given that Tacoma is the most popular midsize truck.
It's their bread and butter.
And yet, no Stout. And then,
yes.
Then, you know, the announcement recently was that they're working on it.
Yeah, they kind of, not completely, but sort of in a way said it's coming.
And that they have not had the resources. And I'm like, guys... Maverick isn't selling 10,000 trucks a year. It's not selling 50,000 trucks.
160,000
trucks a year. You just handed that over to Ford. Like, here, Ford, take that entire market. And in the past, dude, if there had been...
If a Ford sneezed, yeah, a Maverick.
If a Ford sneezed, GM would hand him a hanky. Here you go. We've got
and they
the
said,
solution.
We got you. We got you because we have a little truck of our own.
And now we have 4 years of an unanswered... hot market segment. And, you know, it's not like Toyota doesn't have the Hilux, which is actually smaller than people think. The Hilux and the Tacoma are the same. They're very different. And in fact, the Hilux is, I went to Europe, I sat in the Hilux. It's a pretty small little truck. Probably big for European standards, but pretty small for Tacoma and America standards.
They're not identical.
They're not. No. So you could have pretty quickly taken the Hilux and turned it into...
Well, isn't there like a baby Hilux in like Asian markets?
Well, there's a
which is like... shrunken down further.
There's a baby Ram, right?
There's a baby Ram running around Mexico right now.
Yeah, and yet there's no baby Ram in America.
Oh, come on.
So I'm just a little confounded why this is a segment that has been completely dominated by Ford and nobody
Here's
is.
Another. Let's talk about Nissan.
Let's talk about Nissan.
Well, sadly, Titan is discontinued.
Yes.
You know, I've shed tears about that long ago.
Unless you live in Nashville where they're everywhere.
But Cole, producer Cole, can you Google, please, Nissan Surf Out concept? Okay, Surf Out. Okay, so this is 2021, Roman. Nissan showed this concept. It wasn't, I didn't see it in the metal, but I think it did exist. There's multiple images of it. It's like this compact two-door with like a removable center section, like the mid-gate, you could fall down. You could extend the seats into the bed. This is basically the Slate truck before the Slate even ever was existed as a concept. Why didn't they just build this?
You know,
this is 2021.
You know what it looks like a little bit? I know I'm Czech, right? The Skoda Funster. If you don't know what that is, Google it, guys.
Yeah.
The Funster is the coolest little pickup truck you'll ever see.
It has a see-through front grille.
Okay.
How cool is that?
No, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Andrew. What?
You're barking up the wrong tree. I appreciate it, but you're too
what
much.
What tree am I barking
you're,
at?
You're barking up the pickup tree. What should have happened with Nissan is they should have never killed the Xterra, a truck-based.
Oh, wow.
Right? Toyota has sold over a million 4Runners in the time that Nissan has pulled the Xterra.
That is unthinkable.
Right? They have the Frontier.
Yes.
Which is what the Xterra was based on.
Yes.
Just like Toyota.
And the 4Runner.
And the 4Runner. And yet, you know, Nissan just completely walked away right when overlanding and off-roading, like, took off like a rocket ship. I mean, I was listening to Doug's podcast, and he's probably right about this. It's probably one of the worst automotive decisions in recent times. Where they I've been talking about this forever, and yet somehow nobody at Nissan figured out that they should be taking a Frontier and turning it into an Xterra, because the brand was strong, certainly the timing was incredible, and people wanted and people still want something to compete.
Lifestyle SUV, truck based.
The problem with the 4Runner is it's expensive, and Nissan builds, you know, more affordable, more approachable
Just
vehicles.
Look at the Frontier.
Yes.
It's more affordable.
Exactly. And you could have done the same thing with the Xterra, and you'd be selling easily 100,000 a year at this point. Easily, I think, 100K. And yet, you know, they've finally woken up to it, and now they're like, well, we're going to bring the Xterra back. I'm like...
But I don't know if it's going to come back in the right way.
Too little, too late.
This is off subject, Roman. You're barking up the wrong tree because we're talking about trucks. We're not talking about SUVs.
Yeah, but it's a truck-based SUV.
Okay.
I think I'm on solid
on the right there. On the right tree.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I think Nissan. I mean, Titan is dead. For 2026, they introduced a new color for the Frontier. really a new color?
Yeah.
What about a powertrain option? What about the V6 and the Frontier is great, but what about a hybrid? What about giving people some choice, expanding their possibilities instead of not? Oh, we have another question, I think, here. Maybe it's a little bit off subject.
Well, we'll get to it in a second. Let me kind of explain how I know that the manufacturers have taken their eye off the ball. And the reason I know that is because now, before, you weren't seeing truck competitors come up, at least when we started this, right? You weren't seeing companies starting to seriously compete in the truck world. And now you're seeing Slate come in. You're seeing, is it Tello or Tilo come in?
Tello, yeah.
Obviously, you saw Workhorse, which...
Scout.
You got Scout coming in. So there are people seeing opportunities here.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of those companies went belly up.
They did go belly up.
Bollinger,
yeah.
But you
never saw this before, because I think it was such a competitive and such a highly intense market that people were afraid to step into it. And now you're seeing a lot of that come to fruition. I don't know, will the Slate, will Scout make it? I don't know. But the fact is, because...
Well, Rivian's made it.
Rivian's made it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the manufacturers have not seriously competed, you're seeing competitors come into the space. Now let's talk about Ford for a second, and let's talk about the latest announcement, which is the SXT.
STX.
STX, yeah. So Ford has taken
the Lightning. It's on tfltruck.com, by the way.
Yeah. So Ford has taken the Lightning, which is now 4 years old, I think, or coming up on 4 years old.
Yeah, Lightning STX.
And instead of actually, seriously refreshing it, they rebranded the vehicle as an STX by giving it, as far as I can tell, a different color, a little bit of a slight update to the front.
Well, they're graphics.
And
there's a tire.
Tire.
Goodyear Wrangler.
And wheel. And Raptor sidesteps.
Yes.
That's it. That's what they've done. This is the update to the Ford Lightning.
And this is 4 years after it was introduced.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lightning came out about 4 years ago. How do we know this? Because we owned one. We were one of the first to go to Michigan and actually pick one up. And you drove it to the North Pole.
Yes, I did.
Almost.
I drove it as far north as you could possibly drive it. And yet this is the update to it. I'm not going to call it their Model T moment. Model T pickup moment. But so, let me ask you, Andre, where is the faster charging?
It's not in this truck.
Where's the longer range?
Not in this truck. Hmm. More power?
No. Yeah. Where's the front locker?
No, it's not there.
It's not there.
Where is the Lightning Tremor?
Yeah, where is the Lightning
Tremor? How about the Lightning Tremor? So GM introduced Silverado EV Trail Boss.
Yes.
And Sierra EV AT4.
Yes.
Those are off-road, a little bit more focused. Okay, maybe not completely off-road, fully, you know.
When I tested them, when me and you tested them, we weren't...
They're
heavy.
They're better than before, but they're still very, very heavy and not super, super capable. But there was still no answer from Ford.
Well, there's the STX now.
Okay, so first of all, I'm finding the STX name interesting because it used to mean affordability.
Yeah.
Right?
That was
so
like the entry
level. There was an entry-level XL, and then the STX gave you a little bit more, maybe monochromatic look,
Remember, we had a couple of different options.
We
had the STX Ranger.
Remember? Yes.
That was
monochromatic look, a little bit better, a little bit more premium, but still very basic, very affordable. The new Lightning STX will start at around $63,000, which is less than many other electrified pickup trucks. But still, I guess STX name is working for them. It's good that it's working for them. But still, it's kind of a strange thing.
Yeah, and then let's talk about Ram. So, of course, Ram, has gotten the message loud and clear with the EPA now, not on duty, so to speak, in terms of like emissions, or at least the way it used to be. And so they've decided to bring back the Hemi. We're going to be Hemiing everything. We're going to be supercharging everything. And eventually they're bringing back the TRX. We believe this is not official, but...
They said the V8 powered TRX is coming.
Yes, but what does that mean? But the part that is a little disappointing is they took these off the shelf parts and they stuck them back in the truck, and of course they had to re-engineer it for the 1500 because it was a different truck,
architecture.
But they didn't give you 50 more horsepower or 2 more mpg. It's just the same old Hemi from back in...
And the same old e-torque, too.
And the same... Which wasn't the great e-torque to begin with.
No.
That was like a band-aid. Remember when Ford came out with the EcoBoost?
Power Boost hybrid.
Reds, yeah, which was actually a really clever engineering exercise.
With 7.2 kilowatt of export power and actually lots of power.
Yeah, like Ram took the Hemi and slapped on this like belt with a little electric motor and called it done. That was it.
E-torque.
It wasn't even like the motor wasn't even like sandwiched in between the transmission, which a lot of companies have been doing. It was just stuck on the side of it. And this is what they brought back. And I know you guys love Hemis, and there's this like it's probably the best marketing engine in the history.
It's the best sounding V8, arguably.
But
ever.
But you know, you guys have so many great engineers. Like, give it a little bit more compression, give it a little more horsepower, give it a little bit more fuel efficiency. Give me something to get excited about. And the same problem with the, I think
I'm afraid of the TRX coming back.
It might be the same horsepower.
Yeah. What if the TRX came back, which is okay. I would be glad, but what if it was the same horsepower, no innovation?
I was at our local dealer, and I said this to him, and they said that at least once a week they have somebody coming in asking for the TRX.
The new one?
Yeah. And so I think there is a market for it, but in a very competitive market, you would think that they would do something to make it different, unusual, or more something.
You know what this is going to piss off? Is the true enthusiasts.
Tim, who bought an RHO.
No. Well, it'll piss him off too. But it'll piss off more the person who paid $118,000 for the TRX last call edition, which was the last edition of the TRX ever. And those are the people who are going to be pissed off.
Hey, I have a trivia question I'm going to ask you guys and see if you can answer this. Okay, I made this up myself. I didn't find this anywhere. This is a Roman trivia question at the end. So love for you guys to answer this. There are at least two iconic versions, not this car, but iconic versions of a car that were created by the engineers without the approval, consent, or even support of the management team. In other words, there was a car. These are cars. Well, one isn't the car, one's something else, but I'm not going to, if I say what it is, it'll give it away. But let's just call them cars right now. They're not trucks.
Okay.
So there's manufacturers building a car, and there's an independent skunk work team that's not sanctioned by the manufacturer, just a bunch of engineers who in their spare time, who over the weekend, get together and create a better version of that. And that better version has gone on to sell hundreds of thousands and become iconic, more so even than the original version of the car. So there are two examples of that.
I think I know one, but I don't know if I know two.
Okay. In other words, you know, these are unsanctioned. And in fact, in one case, the company didn't even want to do this. They were like, no, we're not doing this. We can't sell it. And then it became a huge success. So if you can, you got to name both of them. Name the two examples of that.
Should we wait?
Yeah. Put it in the comments below, and then I'll give you the answer. And then you can, if you remember this, when Case is back, you can give these guys the answer.
Oh, so you don't want me to guess now?
You can guess. I'd like our viewers to guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So comment your answers to this question.
Yes.
And when Case is back next week, we're going to reconvene, and we'll.
And there might be more than two. And this is over the last, let's say, 40 years.
40?
Yeah, 30, 40 years. Okay. Yeah. And what I'll do is if somebody gets both of them right, we'll send you a sticker.
And I'll send you a TFL Challenge coin.
Yeah, we'll send you a TFL Challenge coin. How cool is that?
Actually, we do have TFL Challenge coins. Actually, we should do more with those.
Yeah, we'll send you a coin and a sticker, but you got to get both right. And maybe there's more, so I could, you know, but I'm thinking of two. I'll make it a little bit more specific. So that you can kind of make sure that one is an American company and one is a German company. So there's an example of an American company where this happened, and there's an example of a German company.
There you go. So I think we're reaching the end of our podcast because, I actually wanted to say one more thing.
Yes.
Remember, there was something called, about 10 or 15 years ago, something called the Silverado SS.
I remember.
Yes. It had a 6-liter V8. It had all-wheel drive. It had a throaty V8 powertrain. It was a street truck. It was really, really cool. Where is it? Why doesn't it exist now? And also, Ford F-150 Lobo. You know, we can pull up my concept drawing again. Lobo is coming. You know, it's being sold right now.
It says Fobo on there.
Oh, that's AI. Sorry.
It's actually not a bad idea. Maybe we'll give that one to you for free, Ford, the Phobo.
That wasn't on purpose. I did not create that on purpose. That was AI initiative. But where is the Silverado SS?
I don't know. What would that stand for? Fear of what? So
fear of better options.
Yeah, fear of better option. Yeah, like FOMO except FOBO. I don't know, dude. It came and went. It was a flash in the pan.
Okay.
So there was another question you want to answer before we got.
Oh, people. Alan wants to know: can I get some TFL merch?
Yeah.
Looking for a cap.
Yeah, there you go. Right there. Go.
We do have caps. So it's called TFLstuff.com. So we have several versions. So you can get some T-shirts, some shirts, some mugs. My favorite is really Karma is a Hitch. Karma is a Hitch. That's one of my favorites. And don't we have also motorcycle stuff, Cole, if you click next or something like that?
I don't think we have motorcycle stuff.
No. We had like a image with the handlebar. Case usually wears it. Of like a skeleton.
Yeah, we were using Spring and they weren't fulfilling orders very well, at least as we could tell. And so we actually went to a different vendor.
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, TFL, a little motorcycle guy, bike.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool one, actually.
So yeah, I love that.
So TFLstuff.com.
TFLstuff.com.
And as always, guys, thank you for watching. Sorry if this has been too much of a kind of
rant.
Of me ranting and bitching. It seems to be what I do best nowadays as I'm getting older. You turn 60 and it just, there's a gene that just like activates.
Turns on.
And you're all of a sudden like, get off my lawn, kids. So that gene seems to have been activated in me. But I think
please,
it was fun and I think it was true.
Yeah, but please, manufacturers, don't think they took their eye off the ball. Maybe they still think the eye is on the ball. But from our standpoint, please do more cool stuff.
I haven't seen remember Kent used to call it magic spring dust where Ford would say, now the new F-350 tows.
Well, Ram just sprinkled some dust
on their
heavy-duty truck. Remember they added payload to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, there you go.
It happens sometimes.
It happens, yeah. But it was just basically all of a sudden with no engineering changes and no production changes, the truck got more capable.
Yeah. It happens still, but there could be more of it.
There could be, but it was just a sign of how competitive the segments were and how competitive these manufacturers took it that they would not leave anything unanswered.
Yeah, so let's continue to be competitive.
Yeah, it was more fun.
Let's continue.
All right, as always, this is Roman.
And Andre.
Saying thanks for watching. Thank you very much to our Patreons. If you want to help support the team, head on over to patreon.com/TFL.
Car,
yeah. And
thanks for being a guest.
Yeah. Next time you're back to regular scheduled programming,
yep.
you can have a younger, less grumpy presenter.
Case can be grumpy sometimes,
can
actually.
He? Yeah, he doesn't seem grumpy.
And also Carish. Please listen and watch Karish, our other podcast, which is really, really fun.
I'll be on tomorrow if you're watching this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right. See you next time. Ciao.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.